My dearly beloved in Christ, this feast held every year on the last Sunday of October is a wonderful feast day to honor our Lord as our King. Now we notice in today's gospel that Pilate said to our Lord, "Art thou a king?" And he asked that question because of all the accusations that the Jews brought against our Lord. That is the one that bothered him. They said he made himself the Son of God. Pilate didn't care. He didn't care about their other accusations because he was a pagan. He's not a religious person. He doesn't care about the rivalries or the questions, the disputes among the Jewish people pertaining to their religion. But if our Lord indeed was a king or claimed kingship, Pilate was concerned that that might how in some way impact his role as the representative of the emperor in Palestine, as the governor of that area. And the Jews even said to him, "If you release this man, you're not a friend of Caesar." And that bothered Pilate. That concerned him. So he had to find out about this, the answer to this question. "Art thou a king?" And our Lord said, "Yes, I am a king, but my kingdom is not of this world." And when he said that, Pilate realized that he was perfectly innocent and that he had nothing to fear from our Lord's claim of kingship. It did not in any way militate against the Roman Empire because he said, "My kingdom is not of this world." Now we look at the life of Christ, his public life, and we find that he always fled praise and homage. Our Lord often worked miracles and then he would say, "Don't tell anyone." And of course, people continued to publicize these miracles. On another occasion, when he multiplied the loaves and the fishes to feed 5,000, it says, perceiving that they wanted to make him king, he fled into the mountain himself alone. He avoided all of those honors, except on one occasion, because it was the will of his Father and to fulfill prophecy, our Lord entered into the holy city 5 days before his passion and death on Palm Sunday, seated on a donkey. And the people were shouting out, "Hosanna to the Son of David." And they were laying palm branches on the ground and even taking off their own cloaks and laying them on the ground that the donkey would walk over them, giving our Lord this homage as king. So again, that was the will of his Father that before his passion and death, he should receive this public homage. But our Lord himself always sought to avoid it. And he said to his disciples, to his apostles, "You are not to be," paraphrasing here, "you are not to be like the pagans who lord it over themselves. They lord it over others. They seek to have dominion, to have power in this world." And you think about it, all of the miseries that have come to mankind down through the ages due to war, due to persecution, they all boil down to a desire for power. Human beings who are kings, have power, they want more power. And they dominate their subjects. On the other hand, we look at some Catholic kings, and one that is often considered as the outstanding model of Catholic kings was King Louis IX of France, canonized saint. And he was a model Catholic king of concern for his subjects, always seeking to make sure there were just laws and that the poor were taken care of and so forth, and was a wonderful Catholic king. But on the other hand, so many kings, so many emperors, so many people in positions of authority have dominated and subjugated their subjects, not seeking their welfare, but seeking themselves, so often causing misery And as I mentioned, so many wars that are a result of individuals wanting more and more power. But our Lord said to his apostles, you shall not be like them. That the pagans, they lord it over one another. They want to be in this position of authority, not so among you. And our Lord said, he who seeks to be first will be last, and he who seeks to be last will be first. And at the Last Supper, our Lord took off his cloak, girded himself with a towel, and knelt at the feet of his apostles to wash them. And St. Peter was horrified. All of them were shocked. They did not want their master to render this service to them. But he said to them that you shall serve your brethren, that they were to imitate him and not to seek to be again in a position of authority. Now, on the other hand, there is honor and respect owing to a position of authority. So you have priests and then bishops and ultimately a pope. But we look at the popes, the true popes, and I believe it started with St. Gregory the Great, who was pope around the year 600. And he signed his name, he would sign his name, and then underneath it he put Servus Servorum Dei, the servant of the servants of God. And ever since that time, the popes have had that signature that they have put, Servus Servorum Dei, the servant of the servants of God. So the popes individually would seek to maintain that humble realization that they were human beings, and as human beings, we are all sinners. But yet, on the other hand, they had the authority as vicars of Christ. And so they had to maintain that authority. There would be this pomp surrounding the office of the pope, or bishops, especially. The church is hierarchical. And it's interesting that when Vatican II came, there was a discarding of these marks of honor. Paul VI famously, or infamously, sold or gave away the papal tiara. And since that time, his successors have not worn it. So it's like they eschew this signs of honor for the office. So there's a difference between the individual, who must always maintain humility, and on the other hand, a realization that I must uphold the dignity of the office that is given to me. So there's the difference. Nowadays, there is this effort, this thinking in society to avoid any kind of honor for one who is in a position of authority. In fact, in business, businesses often refer to their employees not as employees, but as associates. Everything now, instead of being vertical, everything has to be horizontal. It's looked upon as being prideful or being inconsiderate to not treat the employees as equals, in a sense, as associates instead of as employees. Now, that's done, that's a business model. But this idea, the church is a hierarchical structure. So there's a pope and bishops and cardinals and bishops and priests, etc. There's this hierarchy of authority. And to the degree that one is in a position of authority, that person must be given honor and respect because of the office. And yet at the same time, as a human being, he must maintain in his heart a humble realization that he is a human being, that he will one day give an account, have to render an account to Almighty God. So we look to our Lord and we see this. We see the people giving him homage, and we see our Lord avoiding, insofar as he could, any homage paid to him. But one interesting case in which our Lord was given homage like this was shortly before his passion and death. He was at a table, he was at a banquet, and Mary Magdalene came and she poured precious ointment on his head. And Judas was shocked. And he said, why was not this ointment sold so that the money could be given to the poor? And in fact, the evangelist says, he said this not because he had any care for the poor, but because being in charge of the purse, he wanted the money. He was guilty of avarice. And that is the same accusation that has been made down through the centuries against the Catholic Church. Why these beautiful churches? Why the gold and the glitter and the beautiful artwork in our great basilicas and churches that have been built by the love and the devotion of the Catholic faithful down through the centuries, sometimes taking many years to build one church? Why all this expense? Well, it's to honor Christ our King. And those who are scandalized or shocked by that, saying, well, the gold could be sold and the money given to the poor, they themselves often live in luxury and perhaps have no care for the poor, as our Lord said to Judas, or about Judas. So let us remember to give honor to Christ our King, to give him honor first and foremost by the way we live, obedience to his commandments, humbling ourselves, and also remembering always the respect and the honor we give our Lord when we come into his presence. We genuflect. We show that reverence to our Lord as not just our King, but our God. And at the same time, we remember that we must have the humility that our Lord gave us the example of. He is a King, but his kingdom is not of this world. Let us strive to be part of that kingdom, to reject the spirit of the world, to follow the example of his life, and to be ever loyal subjects to Christ our King. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.